The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus had driven out a demon, some of the crowd said, "By the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons, he drives out demons." Others, to test him, asked him for a sign from heaven. But he knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste, and house will fall against house. And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that it is by Beelzebul that I drive out demons. If I then drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your own people drive them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his palace, his possessions are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he takes away the armor on which he relied and distributes the spoils. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of someone, it roams through arid regions searching for rest, but finding none, it says, 'I shall return to my home from which I came.' But upon returning, it finds it swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and brings back seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, who move in and dwell there. And the last condition of that man is worse than the first." The Gospel of the Lord. It's a beautiful gospel passage. Yeah, I don't know if I can. I laugh also because it's the first gospel that I ever preached as a deacon. I remember I was in the. I'm just saying this is going to, like, you burn up my time here, you know? Like, it's going to run out of time. You can't talk about the passage. I was in the rooms of St. Ignatius in Rome after my ordination to the diaconate. It was very powerful. And at the time, I thought I knew what I was talking about. And year by year, I realized, wow, what are you up to here, Jesus? This is a good one. There's a lot going on here, and there's a lot to say. It's one of those passages in the scripture that really implicates almost everything, including what's going on in the Israel of Jesus' time. So I'll start by saying I think what Jesus is talking about here at the end of the passage, where the house swept clean and then the demons around and then inviting more to return, is that there were various renewal movements of Israel at that time. So, and the focus, you can tell sometimes from the Pharisees, their focus is on sweeping the house clean, and they're getting rid of all impurity and uncleanness. And there seems to be then the indication that, if that happens without a full-on return to the living God, which is what Jesus is offering, then your condition at the end will be worse than it was in the beginning. So Jesus' opposition to the Pharisees, his renewal movement that often runs into conflict with their renewal movement is right here. He's spelling out what it is that's going on. And we can jump back also into the passage and see that, of course, we know that the accusations, this is another beautiful part of the passage. It's not just to waste time, but there's another beautiful part of the passage is that this exchange certainly did happen. It certainly did happen. I mean, I know that everything in the scriptures, as it's recorded, this is a biographical account of Jesus' life. And it's written by people who had access to the eyewitnesses. But one of the things that really sticks out here is that we have the accusation of Jesus being called Beelzebul. And no author, no writer, recorder of the scriptures, St. Luke himself would not have wanted to write this down. And there is no chance at all that he or anyone else would have made it up. There is no chance at all to level that kind of accusation against Jesus, whom they knew certainly to not be Beelzebul. But we have this very powerful line then when Jesus is talking about it's by the finger of God that he drives out demons. And the finger of God has us hearken back to the Exodus, to the time of Moses. God is moving among his people, and that's where the reference is, the finger of God. And it's the power of God. Remember that the magicians of Egypt could not replicate. But they had these counterfeits, like Moses is say commanding in some sense the plagues, and the magicians of Egypt are trying to say, well, yeah, we can do that as well, right? And they fall very short. So it's clear that Jesus also is laying claim to being the new Moses, but more than that, yeah, it's true. But more than that, he is the embodiment of the living God come to rescue his people. And then he's saying, okay, right, your labors to sweep the house clean are futile if they don't involve him, right? If they don't involve Jesus, if they don't involve the living God returned to his people. And I think that's instructive for us as well. I mean, we want to not exorcise ourselves, but we want to give effort to our religious life. Yeah, we want to give effort to giving ourselves over to Jesus, entrusting ourselves to him, living a life that will enable us in freedom to embrace what it is God is calling us to do and be. But if we don't start with Jesus, if we don't start with the power of the living God in our lives, then we may be running off in the wrong direction. It's ours first to receive the living God in and as Jesus. And that's why we come here today. Sign ourselves over to his loving rule, receiving his gift of life and love, and learning more and more, knowing that we're the recipients of God's great mercy, becoming ourselves embodiment of that mercy for the world around. Remember, Jesus is here. His movement is a renewal movement in Israel to make them again the light of the nations. We inherit that great call, and we are equipped here by Jesus, only by Jesus, are we equipped to live out that vocation, to be light to the nations, to bring God's merciful love to life for everyone we encounter.